We've been going over different things, you know, are you a master, are you a slave? We're going over different things in our life of, you know, in our daily life, how much Yahweh is involved. And I think that this message, going forward, making our plans, is it's like a pivot point to that. And it's about holiness. Kadosh unto Yahweh. Kadosh unto Yahweh. So, the word in English that we use, holy, means one thing. In Hebrew, the word is kadosh. And when we see that in Scripture, it's something that is set apart to Yahweh. Something that is set apart to Yahweh. And basically, the main thing I want to go over today is that it is a mindset. You know, kadosh is a mindset. So the action of holiness is simply the extension of the mindset. So if you have a mindset of kadosh, everything you do is going to be kadosh. If you don't have a mindset of kadosh, your actions are going to be the opposite. And what we're going to see is how important kadosh is. You know, Exodus 15 and verse 11. Really, really awesome scripture. This is part of the song that Moses sings after Yahweh parts the Red Sea and then kills the Egyptians. And Exodus 15 and verse 11 says, "Who is like you among the Elohim, O Yahweh? Who is like you, glorified in holiness, fearful in praises, a worker of wonders?" Who is like Yahweh? And you know what the answer is? It's a question. He's not looking for an answer there. I don't know if it was rhetorical when he wrote the song, but you know who is like Yahweh? We are. We're supposed to be. We're made in His image, right? So that's why sometimes you say, well, if we only had an example, and then we just followed the example, well, we did. Yeshua. Yeshua came. Remember we said Yeshua is the disciple of Yahweh, and we're the disciple of Yeshua. And Yeshua did not come in His own name, but He came in the name of the Father, and He only did what the Father told Him, and that's the way we're supposed to be. So that's what we're learning to do. And who is like Elohim, O Yahweh? Who is like you, glorified in holiness, fearful in praises, a worker of wonders? If we go to Hebrews 12, we'll really see the extent of this and how important it is. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. It says, "Because of this, straighten the hands hanging alongside and the enfeebled knees." Remember we said, what is the job of the Eliyahu ministry? Making straight the paths. So here it is, these windy paths were to make a straight way. Meaningly, between two points to Yahweh, without all the points in between. "And make straight tracks for your feet, that the member which is lame may not suffer, but rather be healed." And then verse 14, "Eagerly pursue peace and holiness." Kadosh, with all, without, no one will see Yahweh. So this is, if you're going to be in the kingdom, and you're going to see Yahweh, you have to have kadosh. You have to be kadosh. You have to be set apart to Yahweh. And what does that mean? It means that you're totally out of the world. You're either kadosh because... See, the word holiness in English, when you look at that, holiness only means something that is righteous, right? But in Hebrew, the word kadosh can be set apart to anything. So they use the word for a prostitute. A prostitute is kadosh. She's set apart for, you know, whatever. But for Yahweh, if you're set apart to Yahweh, you're kadosh to Yahweh. That means you have to be totally out of the world. So you're either kadosh to the world or you're kadosh to Yahweh. And what he says is here, that if you're not kadosh to Yahweh, you won't see him. Unless you're totally set apart to Yahweh, you will not see him. Leviticus 15 and verse 31. And I appreciate that so far here we've been able to, because it's been Pesach, we've been able to go over different things of the sacrificial system and different things of the shadows of the Tanakh and the reality of the Brit Hadashah. But here it is, Leviticus 15 and verse 31. It says, so you shall separate the sons of Israel from their uncleanness, right? You shall separate the sons of Israel from their uncleanness. And we can look today as spiritual Israelites, that's when we're separated from the world, because we said the world is Satan's world, we're separated from the uncleanness of Satan's system. So you shall separate the sons of Israel from their uncleanness, and they shall not die in their uncleanness, right? Because that's what happens. If you're not kadosh to Yahweh, whoever isn't, when Yeshua returns, he's going to basically burn up all unrighteousness. It says, and they shall not die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is in their midst. So, if you're not kadosh to Yahweh, you're going to defile his tabernacle. What does he mean by that to us? Go to 1 Corinthians 3. What does this mean to us today? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. It says, the work of each will be revealed, right? So we're talking about bearing fruit for the kingdom, and we're looking at our daily planners. We're seeing how much time is for Yahweh, how much time for ourselves. So this is when Yeshua returns, the work of everybody will be revealed. For the day will make it known, because it is revealed in fire. We talked about the three baptisms, right? Baptism of water, baptism of spirit, and the baptism of fire. We'll talk more about that, yeah, we're willing, before we leave here. And the fire will prove the work of each what sort it is, right? So we know with fire, it has to be something precious, like gold, that it will purify it. But if it's not something precious, wood, stone, anything else, what's going to happen? It's going to completely burn up. And the fire will prove the work of each what sort it is. If the work of anyone which he builds survives, he will receive his reward. And the one whose work shall be burned, he will suffer loss, but he will be delivered, but so through fire. Do you not know that you are a sanctuary of Elohim, and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you, right? So that's what Yeshua said. He said, I will destroy this sanctuary and rebuild it in 3 days, but he was talking about the sanctuary of his body. And now he tells us we are literally a part of that body. So it's not just an analogy for eternity. He is the head and we are members, you know. And this is why community living, all these things are so important. Because there's no place for the Laodicean. There's no place for the person who's kadosh to himself, separated to himself. So, do you not know you are a sanctuary of Elohim and the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? And whoever defiles the sanctuary of Elohim, right? We just read it in Leviticus. What happens? Elohim will destroy. For the sanctuary of Elohim is kadosh. It's set apart, which you are. Which you are. So this is, from a spiritual standpoint, one of the most important things you have to learn as a believer. Because either you're kadosh to Yahweh, or you're going to burn up. It's pretty evident there, right? And we really have to internalize of being part of that temple. You know, being part of his body. We might be a fingernail, we might be a pinky, we might be an elbow, whatever you are, but we are part of a body. We're bigger than ourselves. The sum is worth more than the individual pieces. And this is what the whole kingdom is about. The kingdom is not about me. The kingdom is about surrender to Yahweh and everyone working together as one body toward that one goal. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. And I'm reading this as an example. There's many scriptures in the Tanakh that talk about this. Here it's talking about a prophet or a dreamer of dreams who rises among you and gives you a sign or wonder. And the sign or wonder which he spoke to you occurs, saying, let us go after other Elohim, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Excuse me. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh your Elohim is testing you to know if you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, and you shall hear his voice, and you shall serve him, and you shall cleave to him, right? Hold on tight, never let go. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall die, because he has spoken apostasy against Yahweh your Elohim, who is bringing you out of the land of Egypt and has redeemed you out of the house of slaves, to drive you out of the way which Yahweh your Elohim is commanding you to walk, and you shall put away the evil from your midst. So in the Brit Hadashah, I'm not going to go to the many scriptures they have in Romans and other areas. Does it say the same thing? If somebody brings in heresy, you're to put them out. You're to put the people away from you. Because again, what's going to happen is you're not going to be kadosh. You have to either be set apart to Yahweh or you're not set apart to Yahweh. You're set apart to Yahweh or you're set apart to the world. So this is where we need to ask ourselves, what is our life made up of? You know, when we're looking at our daily planner, is it pleasure seeking? You know, is it TV and movies and golf and restaurants? Is it 20, 30 hours a week on the internet or maybe on our phones? Is it worldly friends? You know, is it going to malls and shopping centers? What are the books we read, right? What, everything we do, it says, due to the glory of Yahweh. So whether nothing wrong with reading a book, but does that book bring us closer to Yahweh? Nothing wrong with watching a video, but does that video bring us closer to Yahweh? Right? Everything you do, do to the glory of Yahweh. Haggai, the second chapter. Haggai, the second chapter. In verse 12. Haggai 2 and verse 12. Is that coming from the microphone? That beeping? Stop. Is it coming from here? Okay. Haggai 2 and verse 12 says, behold, one bears holy flesh in the wing of his garment. Okay? So he's in his garment. He's carrying something that is kadosh to Yahweh. So maybe it's the bread of the presence, right? The, you know, that is there, or whatever. But he has in his garment something that is kadosh to Yahweh, and he touches his wing to the bread or boiled food or wine or oil, any food. Will it become holy? So if you have something that's kadosh to Yahweh, and you touch something that's not kadosh, you touch a table or you touch the wall, does that become holy? And he says, no. But then Haggai says, if the unclean body touches these, is it unclean? Right? So if you have something holy, you can't touch something unholy and make it holy. It's either set apart kadosh to Yahweh or it's not. But if you have something set apart to Yahweh, like the Sabbath, and you violate the Sabbath with something that's not kadosh, will it become unholy? And he says, of course, yeah. So the holy can't make the profane holy, but if the profane touches the holy, it can make it all profane. And Haggai says, if the unclean of body touches these, is it unclean? And the priest answered and said, it is unclean. And what does Haggai say? So is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares Yahweh. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. So we can look at this today and say, so is this world around us. Everything in the world of, you know, Yahweh has his sanctuary. Yahweh has his temple, which is his people, right? And this is why I say, we didn't start communities because of COVID. We started communities 8 years ago because of the kingdom of Yahweh. because we knew the kingdom's coming, and we knew this is what the kingdom is. The kingdom is one big community, right? So Yahweh is setting these communities up for people to be kadosh. But he says, if what is kadosh to him, if you're touching the things in the world that are defiled, then what you thought was kadosh is now defiled. And this is where we have to look at our life. How many things in our life? You know, what we work, the friends we have, where we're going, everything that we're doing, is it kadosh to Yahweh? Or are we taking what is kadosh, the spirit of Yahweh in us, and are we defiling that spirit by touching the unclean every day of our life? Luke 1 and verse 67. And this is talking about when the angel Gabriel is coming to Zechariah, right? The father of John the Baptist, before John is born. And this is the prophecy that's being given. It says, and his father Zechariah was filled of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. This is what he's prophesying by the Ruach. Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, because he visited and worked salvation for his people. And he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, even as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from the age before, that he would save us from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to execute mercy with our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, his set apart covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that we would be delivered from the hand of our enemies, and we might serve before him without fear. How will we serve? In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. In holiness and righteousness, right? This is how we're serving. We're serving by being set apart. And this is why the priest, every single day before the priest would serve in the sanctuary of Yahweh, he had to go out and he had to mikveh himself. He had to wash in the water and purify himself before he could enter the sanctuary of Yahweh. And that's why each of us has made the commitment in our life of doing the ultimate mikveh. That we decided to be baptized in water, fully immersed, right? And purified, because you can't enter the sanctuary of Yahweh without that. So that's the entrance in to the spiritual sanctuary, is through the mikveh. The same way the priest had the mikveh in order to enter the physical sanctuary. And this is the reason why we do it. Because we have to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Everything we do has to be pure. Everything we do has to be set apart to Yahweh. John 17, in verse 14. What is the basis for that? What is the basis for this? It's the word of Yahweh. That's what the word of Yahweh tells us, what is set apart and what is profane. So John 17 and verse 14, he says, I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world as I am not of the world, right? So here it is the same, we see that, right? Yeshua has given us his word, and we've tried to bring that word to the world, and have they willfully accepted it, or are they happy? No, they hate us for it. They hate us because they're not kadosh to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. They're part of the world, they're part of Satan's system. We went over this a lot, you know, Satan is the DOD of this world. So are they going to appreciate when we bring the word of Yahweh? No. No, they're going to hate us for it. I've given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, right? He's not going to take us up to the moon or Mars or another place. We're stuck here until he returns, but that's a good thing because he's given mankind dominion over this place. So that's the part of it. Where Adam gave that dominion over to Satan, Yeshua has already taken that dominion back. So it's like when there's an election, right? Like in America, the election is in November. It's the first Tuesday in November. But whoever wins the election, he doesn't take over the very next day. He takes over, you know, sometime late January. So there's like 3 months where the new government prepares. They have to name all their cabinet members. They have to get ready. And then after they're already, they take over, but the election's already over, and that's what they call lame duck. He's a lame duck president. Because the election's already over, so he really can't do anything anymore because he already lost. He's just sitting there in the chair, basically. And Satan today is a lame duck as the DOD of this world. He already lost. Yeshua already conquered him, right? But what is he doing now? Now, this is that time between the election and the setting up of the government. This is the time where he's setting up his cabinet. We're part of that cabinet, but he's got to train us. Because like I said, when he takes over on the inauguration day, when he returns, we got to be ready to work. And that's why he's putting us through these things now. So he keeps us in the world, but we're not part of the world. We're not part of that system. We're kadosh to Yahweh. We're not kadosh to Satan. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then look at verse 17. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So this is where there's no ambiguity of involved here. His word is truth. This is his word is the thing that is our constitution, like we said. The constitution of the kingdom of Yahweh is the Torah. The laws in the Torah are set there. The statutes, the commandments, and the precepts are what's going to be what we're going to bring to the world when Yeshua returns. So we are sanctified by the word, and we have to be kept from the world. The world literally is, his word is kadosh, his word is set apart. That word sets us apart from the world because the world isn't keeping his word. And that's why it's time to be in the wilderness. Because, you know, the world has rejected it. And basically, you know, Satan has taken it over. And we're really at that point where it talks about in Daniel Revelation of this end time global government that will rule all over the world, and Yahweh will allow it, even from Jerusalem, which I believe they've already taken over Israel, because this beast system that they set up, as I'm going to talk about shortly, is already there. Israel is actually the test case. That's where they're testing the system. And what does he say? He tells his people to go to the wilderness. Because now it's the final preparation. This is it. This is the final preparation to get ready for the inauguration of the new kingdom of Yahweh, which will be here on this earth. Leviticus 11 and verse 43. He says, you shall not pollute yourself with any swarming thing, with swarms, nor shall you make yourself unclean with them, so that you should not be defiled by them. For I am Yahweh your Elohim, and you have sanctified yourself, right? And you have become holy. We are set apart to become holy, to become kadosh. For I am holy. Yahweh is kadosh. So we need to be kadosh to Yahweh. And you shall not defile your person with any swarming thing which creeps on the earth. For I am Yahweh who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to become your Elohim, and you shall be kadosh, for I am kadosh. Period. So it doesn't matter whether you're reading the Torah or you're reading the Brit Hadashah, it's the same thing. Without being set apart to Yahweh, you will not see him. You will not be in his kingdom. This is, like I said, this is vital. Because again, it's not just a belief, it's a mindset. It's a mindset that will bring every action we do. And every action, like I said, everything you do, do to the glory of Yahweh. So it's either a mindset that's bringing you kadosh to Yahweh or bringing you kadosh to Satan, whatever it may be. In Revelation 5:10, I'm not going to go there, but we went there many times. What does it say? We will be kings and priests of him. So again, we have a lot of lessons. We're going to talk about the priest side. But the king's side, right? Well, you know, it's amazing enough to think of being a priest. But to be a king, you know, a king with Yeshua, of course, that's why he's called King of Kings. If there's not other kings, he wouldn't be King of Kings. But he's King of Kings because we will be kings with him. And if you look in Proverbs in verse 8, Proverbs 20 in verse 8 says, "A king who sits on the throne of judgment does not look upon any evil with his eyes." A king who sits on the throne of judgment does not look upon any evil with his eyes. So, I read an article that's from like something like 25 or 30 years ago. And at that point, it said the average child, through television and movies, will see something like 20,000 murders by the time he's, you know, 18 years old. And that was 25 or 30 years ago. Now that might be in a year you might see that. You know, it might be one movie, actually, that you could watch and probably see that. So we see things are progressively getting worse. But as the people of Yahweh are getting progressively stronger, the Ruach is being poured out more, and we're getting more kadosh toward Yahweh, the world is getting more kadosh toward Satan. And like I said, I think COVID has been a big example of that. You know, COVID is really showing how much, you know, Satan has taken over as the God of this world that's out there. So it says, as a king, you can't look upon the evil. You know, we have to put all evil away from us. We cannot look upon the evil. So the reason why many times Yahweh's people are not kadosh is because they're defiling themselves with the world. And maybe in ways you don't even look at it as defilement. You know, like social media. There's a lot of people, and I know there's still some in our congregation that are still on social media, no matter how much you say. But like to some of the other groups, the Church of God groups, the Sacred Name groups, they're all on social media. And is that something that's set apart to Yahweh, or is that something that's set apart to Satan? It's real easy. Just look at something like Facebook. Who created it? Was that created by Yahweh, or was it created by Satan? They tell you it. Like I said, you don't have to guess. He's telling you why he did it. He's telling it to hurt your children, to manipulate them, to brainwash them. And now we see as COVID comes, right, that Facebook starts banning anyone who will tell the truth. Tell the truth about the vaccine and you're banned. Lie about it and you get to go on there. So whatever is not of the truth is not of Yahweh. And yet there's believers that will still use it. Strange enough. You know, and this is, again, each person, you got to make a choice. Are you set apart to Yahweh or you're set apart to Satan? But without Kadosh, you will not see Yahweh. That's the Laodicean. It's a scary scripture because he thinks that he's so strong and increased with goods and need of nothing. And yet he's blind, he's miserable and poor and naked. He doesn't have a covering. So the reason why Yahweh's people many times are not Kadosh is they're defiling themselves with the world. And they're not striving for holiness in all things. And we, you know, many times we've talked about the Amish. They're not perfect. But like I said, when you look at their lifestyle, you know, their lifestyle is really set up for family living, from being set apart from the world. You know, not even using vehicles, not using telephones, all these different things. And again, to pray for 2 or 3 hours a day, or study your Bible for 3 or 4 hours a day is nothing. You know, we don't always have the time for it, but it should at least be our desire. You know, that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. To fast regularly, to meditate on the word of Yahweh every day, to have no life but Him, like Yeshua. You know, when Yeshua was on this earth, He actually lived good. He went and he ate, and people judged him sometimes because he was eating and drinking, you know, they're saying with sinners, right? But everything he did was to the glory of Yahweh. And he set us an example for that. And, you know, I was thinking about it a while ago, that if the first century congregation was here today, they would consider at least 95% of all Christians all over the world as apostate, including Sabbath keepers and sacred name people. from what their beliefs were and what they were taught by Yeshua and the apostles, if they were alive today, they would consider 95% of everyone considering themselves a believer in Yeshua as an apostate. And that's pretty shocking, you know, when you really think about it. So, I was praying 2 days ago, and Yahweh really put something very shocking into my mind that I want to share with you because it pertains to this. He put the question in my mind when I was praying, what if the chip is a head fake? You know, the chip that we believe is going to be the mark of the beast, the end of it, right? What if the chip is a false flag? False flag. What if it's only, they're just saying they're going to put a chip in you, but they're not really going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing he said to me is, what if the mark of the beast is already here? What if the mark of the beast is already here? The mark of the beast is in your hand and in your forehead, right? It's in your hand and it's in your forehead. And walk down the street. I do this in Israel. We did this many times. Whether you're at a bus stop, whether you're at a train stop, whether you're in the airport, or whether I'm just walking down the street, everybody is like this. Everybody is like this. And actually, you could actually just go to our front gate and you'll see people like this. And not for a minute or two, all day long. This is the way people are. It's in their hand and in their forehead. Because the one thing with the chip I always wondered about, I'm saying, okay, I understand if they put a chip in your hand, and they might, you know, they still might put a chip in your hand, I don't know. But what does it have to do with your forehead? You know, it's because the forehead is the mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Elon Musk, the guy who's developing all of this, and he has now, they're already using them. They have patches that they put on your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you want to play the piano, you don't have to sit there for years and years and years. You just put a patch on your brain and you know the piano. And you know what he said when they talked about implanting a chip? He said, why would you have to implant a chip? He said, the phone is already an extension of the hand. This is not a smartphone. You know, this is a flip phone. Most of the time, I don't even have it on unless I need it. Mm-hmm. But if you have what they're calling a smartphone, it's not that smart. Mm-hmm. And you have that phone as a part of your hand, mm-hmm. and day in and day out, everything you're doing is from that, you're not kadosh to Yahweh, I can tell you right now. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are going to hear this, I may offend them. But if your day, right, whatever you do to the glory of Yahweh, this is not to the glory of Yahweh. And they are tracking you. And you want to know something? The police came here from this. Not mine, because mine's not a smartphone. But the police came here because of smartphones that were here and people using them. That's why they were here the other day. So it should tell you something. If you're in a community and this is your life, you're putting every single person with you in danger. It's that simple. You know? And what I believe is, I'll be honest with you, I believe so many people, including brethren, you're addicted to it. And whatever you're addicted to, that's your G-O-D. If you're addicted to something, and like I said, it could be coffee, tea, it could be anything. But if you have to have this, if most of your day, right? We don't have the time, we don't have 2 hours to pray, but we have 2 hours of this on our mind, day in and day out, including Sabbath. Because part of Sabbath is, whatever you do normally, you're not supposed to do it on Sabbath. You should not have any electronics on Sabbath unless it's an absolute necessary. And if not, you shouldn't have it. That's a day set apart to Yahweh. It's not a day set apart to Satan, because this is satanic. Your smartphone, what you're thinking, it's satanic. It's satanic. It was made for one reason. It's made by the global government to track you. And you know how we know it? We know it with the QR. The system, they already have it. So that's really interesting, you know, that Yahweh's putting in my mind, right? What if it's just a false flag? Do they really need to put a chip in you? Because already with the vaccine, it's already changing the RNA messenger is actually computing and changing the DNA. So do they really need to put a chip in you? They really don't. Because as long as you got that idol in your hand, Satan is happy. Because whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And if that idol is in your hand 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and you're like this 8, 10, 12 hours a day on that thing, then that's your G-O-D. It's that simple. And all that time, what are you doing? You know, you're Kodesh to Satan. It's that simple. Because the QR code, it was really interesting, because when COVID started, right, and in Israel, I told a couple people this, Israel already has this system from the UN. And you know what the system is? By using those dumb phones, I'm not going to call them smartphones because they're not, by using those dumb phones, what they've done is they created a system throughout the whole country that when you go in a supermarket, that phone is going to tell you from 1 to 10 what your risk of COVID is. So maybe in the supermarket it's 3. You go in a mall, it's 6. You know what that tells you? That tells you every single citizen is tracked by the phone. When you get COVID, you know what happens? Immediately, that dumb phone tells you, go home and isolate. And every single person you were near, even if you don't know them, if you were in a mall and you got COVID and someone else was in that mall, they get on that dumb phone, go home and isolate. Israel is the first country in the world to bring this system there of the beast power. And they're tracking every single Israeli citizen. It's there. So what happened was, like I said, when COVID first started, what did they do when the vaccine came? If you weren't vaccinated, you couldn't go out. You couldn't buy food. You couldn't do these things. But they allow you to go get PCR test. You know, the antigen, the quick test. So now what happens? You go to a whatever place, you get the test, and they sign a little paper. That paper is good for 2 or 3 days, and now I can go to the supermarket. I show them the test, and they look at the thing. Well, that lasted for a couple of months, and you know what happened after that? Once they started those QR codes, if you didn't have a smartphone or a dumb phone, couldn't do it. Because when you went and took that test, it automatically downloaded to your phone. So now, we don't have a smartphone. We can't eat. So that's the point. This system is already there. But the point of it is, beside the system of buying and selling, and you're not going to be able to do it without your QR, it is brainwashing you. If you keep that thing in front of you, and it's not healthy either, you know, because it will give cancer, this stuff, where you have that stuff there. You know, face cancer, that has come. They've done clinical tests on this, and from people keeping it in their pockets, you know, genital cancer, it's like 3,000% higher now. So it's not healthy for you physically. It's brainwashing you mentally and without a shadow of a doubt. And again, I'm not saying there might be something more to this, because these are just two questions Yahweh put in my head that blew me away. Could the chip actually be just a false flag? And is the mark of the beast already here? That was, wow. You know, so they might make something better than that. But like I said, if that is a part of your hand, if that is an extension, there's a lot of people that sleep with that in their hand. Because if it goes off and maybe they got a like in the middle of the night, man, I could tell you, whatever it's going to be and whatever may come from here, it's all from the same base. And if the base is corrupted, then anything coming from it from corrupted. But without a shadow of a doubt, it is not kadosh to Yahweh. And this is where we have to start looking. We have to start looking. If we can't do without it, you know, then there's a problem. The Amish, you know, one thing they did, not, they don't believe in having phones, but what they have is some of them, they'll have a phone, one phone in the community outside across the street for an emergency. So again, I think something like email is a great thing. You could get a message to someone quickly if you have to. I think a phone is a good thing if you had to call somebody. But as they keep bringing more and more and more into it, most of the things on that you don't need. You don't need to be connected to the internet 24/7. Why would you? The internet is an evil thing overall. You know, it definitely wasn't set up by Yahweh. So although there might be a small purpose for it in your life that could help you, not 24/7. Because whatever you serve, you are the servant of. Whatever you serve, and that's why I said, look at your daily planner And on nobody's daily planner was the phone, but you got to start thinking, how much time are you putting on that phone every day? Or on internet, you know? And I don't really see any good reason why somebody needs internet. Somebody told me the only reason they have this smartphone is so that they can get the Bible. But you could put the Bible on there without internet. You don't need internet. And I know a lot of the brethren here, they have your Bible on the phone. That's fine, you know, if you're using it for the Bible. I'm talking about the system that Satan has set up with has everything to do with the internet and being addicted to that, not being able to control yourself of being part of that system day in and day out. And 1 Corinthians 6:20, we went over this before. You know, it says, your life is bought and paid for. Are you a master or are you a slave? And like we said, slaves have no right to private ownership, even their own bodies. And if we are a slave to our master Yeshua, then we want to make sure you can't serve two masters. I don't want any other master in my life. Whatever it may be. Sometimes it's a job. Nothing wrong with a job. We got to work. But sometimes you become the slave of the job. There's sometimes people, it's investments. They have investments. And they become the slave of that investment because they have to check it every 15 minutes. Or they have to call in every day. And it's whatever it is you become the slave of, that's what you're kadosh to. And we really, this is really where, like I said, this is what this is about. It's about, like I said, we are the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. It's here to get you to think and to do better. To do better, to be the best servant for Yahweh, to be the best fruit you can bear. But you have to change your life if you're going to do it. There have got to be these changes that are made. Because at the end of the day, like I said, whether you're Donald Trump or Donald Esposito, you have 24 hours in the day. It doesn't make a difference, you know. Money doesn't give you more time. We all have 24 hours, and you want to make sure you're using that productively. Colossians 3 and verse 17. It says, in everything, whatever you do in word or in work, do all things in the name of our Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through Him. In everything, whatever you do in word or in work, do all things in the name of the Master Yeshua. That's what we want in our life. Everything is being done to the glory of Yahweh. Romans 6. Because as we talked about already, and we'll talk about more when we get into more kingdom principles, the amazing part, what this whole plan is about, is the transformation of transforming a human, earthly, dirt and water body that will corrupt. Every day we corrupt, every day our cells die, and every day we're getting one step closer to death. But it's transforming that into an eternal being. Not just any eternal being, but transforming us into Elohim. We're going to be literal children of Him. And already, physically, we look like Him. He has hands and fingers and a nose and ears, He tells us. But in that day, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be the same. His Spirit will be fully in us. We'll think exactly like Him. And it says, we don't know what it'll be when Yeshua returns. It talks about this in 1 John 2. But we know one thing, when He returns, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. That's our hope. That we will be just like Him. But now, in this flesh, we got to fight ourselves every day, and every day we should be getting that much closer. Everything we do should be set apart to Yahweh and Yeshua. Romans 6, it says, what then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? Let it not be. We who have died to sin, how shall we still live in it? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. And that's why we don't sprinkle. That's why we immerse, because what you're doing is you're completely dying to that old person. The old person is dying, and you're coming up a brand new creation in Messiah. And from there now, you have to transform your life into it. For if we have been planted together with Him in the likeness of His death, so also shall we be in the resurrection. For we know this, that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer serve sin. For he who is dead has been freed from sin. But if we died with Messiah, we believe that we will also live with him, knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once and for all, but that he lives to Elohim. So also you count yourself to be truly dead to sin, but alive to Elohim in Yeshua Messiah our Master. Then do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey its lusts. Neither present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to Elohim as one living from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to Elohim. For your sin shall not master it over you, for you are not under the penalty of law-breaking, but you are under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the Torah, but under grace? Let it not be. Do you not know, this is the important part now, do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? Don't you know that do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey? And that's what I'm saying. You got to look in your life. Any kind of addiction means that becomes your G-O-D. Any kind of addiction that you're having in your life. And an addiction is just simply something that you don't have control of. Something that's controlling you. But thanks be to Elohim that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved to righteousness. You know, kadosh. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh, and that's what Satan knows, right? He knows the weakness of our flesh, and that's why we don't want to be caught up in every gadget that comes out there. And like I said, it's really interesting that about every 6 months, something new is coming, so it doesn't stop. You know, it started at one thing. You know, I remember when email first started. It was through like America Online or something, and how hard it was. And even the computer. You got on the computer and that little green line, and you got to wait about 2 minutes, three dots, four dots. But every few months, it's coming up with more and more and more and more and more until we are today. And we're not at the end of it yet. So there'll be more things that are coming out too. But thanks be to Elohim, you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine where you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved to righteousness. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. So Satan knows. He knows we're weak in the flesh. He knows our human nature. And he's going to put anything before us, any kind of gadget, to try to get before our eyes. For as you yielded your members as slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification, holiness. Everything in life, and like I said, maybe in the past, 1880, it might have been a little hard to see what was set apart to Yahweh, maybe what wasn't, but today it's very, very easy to see. There aren't too many things that you really have to guess if it's set apart to Yahweh or set apart to Satan. Drop down to verse 22. He says, but now having been set free from sin and having been enslaved to Elohim, you have your fruit unto sanctification, holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So this is what it comes down. This is our fight. You know, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And especially the more that you've allowed Satan to set you apart to these gadgets of the world, the harder it's going to be to get rid of them. But you got to start somewhere. You know, with brand new people that are just brand new. You know, so their whole world is set apart to Satan. How do you start? I try to tell them one by one. You know, start out one by one. It's a day at a time. But you have to start doing this. You have to start looking at your life. You have to see what really is not of Satan. And like I said, that smartphone is big because that is, you know, the beast system. That's the way they're using it. That's the worldwide system they've already brought. And that QR code is not going away. That is only going to be enhanced in every part of your life. So however they're going to do it, however they're going to make it, but, you know, it will be exchanged for even passports. You won't have those passports anymore. but somehow through that phone, and however they do it, it'll be, that will be who you are, that will be your identity to this global government, and everything will be through that. And that's what they're trying to do. Maybe it'll be Elon Musk's tattoo that goes in your mind with your smartphone. But that QR code, like I said, that is a major part of the mark of the beast in this system, and that ain't going away. So you better learn how to live without it. Because you might just think, okay, so what? You know, if I have to use this to get into the supermarket, what's the big deal? You know, and that's what I said, what Yahweh told me. What if the mark of the beast is already here? What's the difference between what they're doing now and what the Bible says? I don't really see a difference. You know, when I read those scriptures, I see it already enacted. The only difference being is we can, you know, without it, you still can buy and sell. But once it comes down to, which is pretty close, that, you know, once they only have the digital system, once there's not these little pieces of paper bills anymore, then you're either going to have your QR code or you're not going to buy and sell, period. So you want your fruit to sanctification, holiness, to everlasting life. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3 in verse 11. He says, but may our Elohim and Father himself and our Master Yeshua Messiah direct our way to you. And may the Master make you to increase and to abound in love toward one another and toward all, even as we do also toward you. Why? In order to establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our Elohim and our Father at the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah with all his saints. So this is the reason why he's setting us apart, in order to establish our hearts blameless. He wants our hearts to be blameless in holiness, so that we could be ready for Yeshua's return. Chapter 4, I'll start reading here in verse 1, Thessalonians. He says, for the rest then, brothers, we beg you and we exhort in our Master Yeshua, even as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, that you abound more. For you know that commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, setting apart the holiness, for you to abstain from fornication, for each one of you to know to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And there's physical fornication and there's spiritual fornication. You know, like I say, when brethren go on the internet and you're looking for all of these false ministries, that's spiritual pornography. You know, that's what it is. It's a spiritual fornication because it's not of the truth of Yahweh. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, right? Each to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, even as also the nations do, not knowing Elohim. Not to go beyond and to overreach his brother in the matter, because the avenger concerning all these is Elohim, even as we were told before and solemnly testified. For Yahweh did not call us to uncleanness, but toward holiness. It's everywhere. As a believer, there's nowhere to go as a believer without this at the top of your life. Therefore, the one that does an injustice does not wrong man, but Yahweh, even he giving his Holy Spirit to us. So again, whatever we're doing in our life that's not set apart to Yahweh, we're not harming man, you know. We are, you may indirectly or even yourself, but basically you're harming Yahweh, who set this up this way. Titus 2 in verse 8. Titus 2 in verse 8. It says, choose sound words that are instructive, so that no man can point the finger of scorn at us, and he of opposition may be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us, right? So when our life is set apart to Yahweh, the worst they can say about us is we're a cult, we're weird, we don't do what the world does. But when we're setting our life apart to Yahweh, they really can't point the finger at us. You know, there's nothing that they have at us, at the opposition, that they may be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about you. Let slaves be subject to their own masters, well-pleasing in all things, not speaking against them, right? He's not telling the master to free the slave, because we're all slaves, right? But he's telling them to be well-pleasing and not speaking against the master, not stealing, but showing all good faith that they may adorn the doctrine of Elohim, our Savior in all things. For the saving grace of Elohim has appeared to all men, instructing us that having denied unrighteousness and worldly lusts, we should live discreetly and righteously and holy in this present age, right? So, are we affecting them, or are they affecting us, right? Are we really set apart? Because, yes, the Sabbath and not eating pork and the holy days, these are really important. These are signs that keep continuously every year showing us the plan of salvation. But that's only the beginning of our sanctification. If we're really going to make a difference, it's got to be in every aspect of our life. It can't just be in those basic things we're learning when we become a believer. Instructing us that having denied unrighteousness and worldly lust, we should live discreetly and righteously and holy in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearance of the glory of our great Elohim and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify a special people for himself, zealous of good works. So that's why he suffered. That's why he came here as a human being. That's why he lived 32, 33 years, to give us an example. So that he can purify his body. Because if we are literally his body, right? You know, you don't just wash your face. You may wash your face when you come in from outside. But every day you're washing your whole body. Because you want your body cleansed. And that's the same way, that he is the head of the body. But he wants us pure in all things, so we can be zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So this is something where the Apostle Paul is saying, this is really important, you know, to speak it and exhort and even rebuke it if you have to. Because it has to be, if you're going to get every spot and wrinkle out, this is the way to do it. So many times we talk about the bride getting out spot and wrinkle, but what does that mean? Exactly what we're going over today. It's getting all forms of worldliness out of your life and being totally kadosh to Yahweh. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4 verse 22 says, lay aside all your former practices, right? The new man, that's why, like I said, we come up out of the water and we're a new creation. So all the things that were before, they have to go by the wayside. Like the Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do, looking ahead, not looking behind. We're looking forward to the new creation that Yahweh is creating through his ruach inside of us. Lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right? The hand and the forehead. The mind is where you're thinking. So we're being renewed daily in our mind. And to put on the new man who is created by Elohim in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is set apart to Yahweh. He's not set apart to the world. Therefore, put away from you lying and speak the truth, each with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil a chance. Right? That's what I said. That if there's lust or greed or anger in your life, these things belong to Satan and you're giving him authority to come into your life and take them. Do not give the devil a chance. Don't give him any reason. And like I said, with the internet, wow, that's his internet. So if you're on there so much during a day, you are giving him a chance to infiltrate your mind. Because that's what you're doing. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And a lot of these children, unfortunately, these children in the world, I feel bad for them. But they're like robots. You know? Like I said, you just stand on a corner one day when you go back home and just watch for 10 minutes. And everybody is there doing this. Everybody is there doing this all day long. There was one woman, she actually fell in a hole. It was a manhole they were fixing and the manhole was off and she went down like 75 feet. Because she didn't see where she's walking. She's going like this, and the next thing is, whoo, she falls in the hole that way. So we don't want to give the devil a chance. Mm-hmm. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with what is good with the hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing of those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. We were talking about, how do you do that? How do you grieve the Spirit of Elohim? You grieve the Spirit of Elohim by not being Kadosh to Yahweh. When you're Kadosh to Yahweh, that Spirit is growing inside of you. You know, like a tree, like the mustard seed. It's the smallest of all, and then it becomes a tree. But when you're Kadosh to the world and Satan, you're grieving the Spirit. You know? So, I tell people, there was a guy one time that, he wasn't in the congregation, but he was said he was a believer. And he was talking to me because he said he felt inspired to be going to, he lived in this real bad part of town, and he would go out like at midnight witnessing, and he would go witnessing in the bars and stuff, and he said he felt convicted of that. And I said, well, number one, know this. When you enter that bar, you're entering on your own. Yahweh's Spirit ain't entering that bar with you. And I said, number two, because I kept trying to tell him, you know, you got to sanctify your life. You got to be careful. And he's like, no, I know I'm convicted. So I said, well, how long are you doing this for? He said, about 3-4 years. I said, how many people have you helped? None. Right there, you got your answer, right? I don't know the reason he's doing it, but I know one thing. He's quenching the Holy Spirit. Every time you go in a situation that is not of Yahweh and that is of Satan, you're quenching your spirit. And that's why, you know, I say, you know, the movies you're watching, and especially the internet, because that's somewhere now. Think about it. Before, let's say, the last 60, 70 years, even let's say just before television started, Satan was limited to how he can affect you. He'd have to somehow trick you to be near another person, or maybe seeing a billboard or something as you're walking down the street. But now, he can affect you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're always having the internet going in your house and you always have TV or something going on, like, he has a way now that for the planet, he can affect everybody. So it's important that we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, but we want to sanctify. How do we stop that? By setting ourselves apart from those things. And that's why I believe, like I said, now I believe it's so, we're at such a danger point that it's like, it's time to go to the wilderness. You know, we did as much as we could. We witnessed in the world. Not to say we're not going to continue to witness, because the congregations in the wilderness, they had millions of people come to faith. You know, they had in the millions that came to faith from the wilderness. So I'm not saying we're going to stop witnessing, but what I'm saying is the way that the world has become completely vile, it's time Yahweh's people got to go to the wilderness. Or you'll just grieve the Holy Spirit, and you'll fall away. You're not going to make it if you stay in the world. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and turmoil and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim has forgiven us through Messiah. So this is what happened. This is the transformation that takes place once we become Kadosh to Yahweh. The next chapter, chapter 5, verse 11. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather condemn them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things being done by them in secret. You know, a lot of this stuff you don't even want to mention. But all things being condemned are exposed by the light and are clearly revealed, for everything having been revealed is light. What did we say? Going from darkness to light. We are to be a light in that dark world. So the few people that Yahweh is out there calling, they're going to see that light and they're going to come to that light. But if you're partaking of the darkness and you're there in the darkness, then they're never going to see the light. But all things being condemned are exposed by the light and are clearly revealed, for everything having been revealed is light. Because of this, he says, arise, sleeping one, and arise from the dead ones. The Messiah will give you light. Then watch how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise ones, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that's where we're at. The time is very little, and we need to redeem that time because it's short. And we got to make sure we're taking advantage of that time, and we're using it productively, being Kadosh to Yahweh. One last scripture I want to go over here is in 2 Peter 1. This was actually what Elder Orley went over in his message. Great scripture there. Second Peter 1, and starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to those equally precious with us, having obtained faith in the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied by a full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master, who has given us all things that pertain to the power of Elohim for the life and worship of Elohim, through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue, by which means he has given to us the very great and precious promises, so that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, right? That's what we're looking for. The Ruach, the Spirit of Yahweh, his divine nature to grow in that, escaping from the corruption which is in the world by lust. So we're looking to get rid of the nature of Satan in the world, right? And to become set apart to Yahweh, not set apart to Satan. Mm-hmm. But also, in this very thing, having brought all diligence, having fully supplied in your faith, virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and with knowledge, self-control, and with self-control, patience, and with patience, holiness, set apart to Yahweh. So these are building blocks. They're all building blocks, like Elder Orley went over, from the nine fruits of the Spirit. And with holiness, brotherly kindness, and with brotherly kindness, love. So we see there are two different things. The agape of Yahweh and the phileia, you know, the brotherly love compared to the Yahweh unconditional love. For these things being in you and abounding, they will make you never to be useless or unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah. For the one in whom these things are not present is blind, being short-sighted and forgetting that he was cleansed of his sins in time past. And that's what happens. Like anything else, nothing happens immediately. It happens little by little. And, you know, people come into the faith, and then all of a sudden, the world starts pulling them little by little, and that's what Satan does, little by little. And it's like a ship that's veering. You start going off maybe by one or two knots, which isn't so much, but after a day or two like that, you're that far off on your journey. You're way off from that point. So we want to make sure that we're staying on this. For the person in whom these things are not present is blind, being short-sighted, and forgetting that he was cleansed of his sins in time past. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For doing these things, you will never fail. For so will be richly furnished to you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. So that's like a recipe. You know, we're going to be going over goal setting this week, which are recipes. But this is like a recipe toward the kingdom and the building blocks on each one of those, of being set apart to Yahweh. So just like I said with repentance, it's not enough to just ask what is sin. You have to ask what is holy. You have to ask what is kadosh to Yahweh. It's not enough just not to sin. We need to be kadosh. Every action is either attaining toward worldliness or attaining toward holiness. We have not attained true holiness because we're not staying sanctified. And that's clear. So in your life, it's like a litmus test that you could, you know, whenever, whether you do it weekly or monthly or whatever, but you should periodically be checking your life to see, am I growing to be more kadosh to Yahweh, or have I kind of pulled a little bit in the wrong direction? And if you do this, if you keep checking yourself against it, you could see it. You could see it in your own life, because you could see it by the fruit of what's happening. And then if you say to yourself, yeah, you know, there's something where I feel like I'm not as close to Yahweh as I was before, that's where you can kind of look and see why. You know, because face it, Satan deceives all of us. He's deceived the whole world, and every one of us is living in this world. So I've been deceived by him as well as anybody else. But the way to get over that deception is, number one, the word of Yahweh, like we said, because that's the only truth in this world today, is the word of Yahweh. But the second thing is, so like I said, you have to keep looking into your spiritual life. You have to keep examining yourself. It shouldn't be something we just do at Passover time. At Passover, we're commanded to do it, and you have to do it in a bigger way, right? But we should be examining ourselves daily, because we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Yeshua daily, and looking in our life each day and seeing, are we attaining toward that goal of being set apart to Yahweh, or are we falling apart? And if we see there's something in our life that's helping us to fall apart, then we have to make changes. I know when I was in the business world, you know, I really, really enjoyed it because it was a gift that Yahweh gave me. So I loved starting a new business. I just loved it. I loved starting something from scratch and building it and making it work. And then there was a point in my life where I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, number one, because of the business world, the way it became. Plus, though, I was working for Yahweh. It was too much time. But I saw after that how Satan would very slickly try to pull you back in to something that you were already out of. Business world, yeah, you can make a lot of money, but it doesn't come without a price. Everything has a price. And for me, I'm not willing to make that price now because I don't have the time, the effort, and I don't want to put my mental energy toward that. I don't want to take it away from the kingdom of Yahweh and be putting it toward other things. So that's where each of us in our life, we have to look at these things and we have to get the balance in our life. Because like I said, whoever doesn't work doesn't eat. I'm not saying everyone just quit their job and not work. But you have to make sure whatever you're doing, because in these decisions, you could just as easily do something toward Yahweh than against Yahweh. And everything we do, whether it's work, family, you name it, we have to do all toward the glory of Yahweh.